Welcome to the I Remember podcast.
This is where we slow down for a bit and share the tender mercies we've seen in our lives, those little reminders that God is near.
In the scriptures, God tells us over and over to remember.
So that's what we're here to do.
Welcome to the I Remember podcast with Anna
and Maddie.
Maddie has our I Remember moment of the week. Maddie, do you want to share?
Yes. Okay. So, guys, the other day I was preparing to hike Timp. And for those of you who don't know, this is like a pretty steep hike. It's about like 7 miles up, 7 miles down. And so I have just returned from my mission. I don't really have shoes to wear. And I just have like these sandals or my really old tennis shoes. And I was really pondering. I really wanted to wear my sandals, like my Chacos, to go on this hike, but my dad was like, don't do it. That's a terrible idea. You can't wear sandals on this long, long hike. And I was kind of torn. And so one day in the temple, I was just sitting in the celestial room and I was like, God, I don't know. Should I wear the sandals? Like, what should I do? Kind of a silly question for God, but I opened the scriptures and I don't remember exactly what scripture it was. It was in the Old Testament, but the scripture basically said, pray for the gift of discernment and he will help us to make decisions in our life. And so that like really helped me in the morning of the hike. I said, I feel okay wearing sandals. I've prayed about this. I feel good about it. And I'm going to wear sandals. And I brought the tennis shoes just in case. But when I was there, I was like, no, I'm sticking with the sandals. And the whole hike, it was perfectly fine. And the sandals worked out great. But I just love how God cared enough to help me choose what shoes to wear on this hike so that I wouldn't get blisters or hurt myself. And so, yeah, God is good.
God is good. That's so awesome. Okay, and today our guest is Nicole Jensen.
Yay!
Nicole is my aunt. So, I was about to introduce you for yourself.
I didn't even think about an introduction.
Okay, we'll do one on the spot. Nicole, let's see. I'll just do some fun facts.
Okay, I like that.
Nicole loves tacos.
Who doesn't love tacos? Are we serious?
Guilty.
She has a sign on her wall that says, as for me and my house, we will serve tacos.
Yes, that is a great house motto.
Nicole also loves the beach. She loves traveling. She loves Hallmark movies, as well as I do.
Something I didn't want everyone to know.
I'll admit that.
Yes, they're clean and they're happy.
Oh, yes. I love a good Hallmark.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I love life.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Nicole, can you give us kind of an introduction of your life story in like 30 seconds?
Okay. Do we want to talk about like my health issues? Like that
yeah.
Particularly?
Yeah, we can go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because really, I don't know that my life can fit in 30 seconds. So about, when was it? 2021, when I got the COVID vaccine, the second one, like I just started having crazy health issues. I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but anyway, through going to different doctors, I found out that I had a autoimmune disease called ankylosing spondylitis. Mm-hmm. I know it took me like forever to actually like remember what it was, or to say it.
Yeah.
But it's called AS. And so what it does is it affects like your back, your hips, your tendons, your ligaments, your joints. And it's just super painful. It feels like your body's on fire all the time. So anyway, so I was diagnosed with that. And so I just spent like the next several years like trying to figure out how to get that under control and actually how to heal my body.
Yeah. Was there ever a point where you felt your physical pain was affecting your spirit or your faith?
Yeah, for sure. I was in so much pain that I actually just wanted to die. Like I wasn't sleeping very well just because my whole body felt like it was on fire. And so any movement, sleep wasn't restful because any position in sleep was just super, super painful. And so I really just wanted to die. And I feel like that affects your spirit. Like, totally. If like, you know, like your will to live. And, and so it completely 100% did affected my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I don't even know, because the pain that I've watched you go through and have been there, I am always just amazed. I'm like, how does she do it? How do you go day to day? How would you answer that? How do you do it?
Well, you know, like in the moment, it was hard. I mean, I was walking with a cane. I didn't go anywhere. I was kind of homebound. But I mean, I think sometimes like there's that just that will to like, I'm gonna get up every day. I'm gonna keep doing it. But there's also like that spiritual component. Like we're not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, that we have our Heavenly Father that we can pray to. We have our Savior Jesus Christ that can give us the strength to do things that we don't have the capacity ourselves to do. And I felt like for a long time I didn't have the capacity, and I don't even know. I actually still was thinking about this earlier today, that I don't know how I held down a job and did a great job at work throughout all of this health stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, being in so much pain. Luckily, I worked remotely, and you know, so sometimes I worked from my bed, because like that was all I could do. But I also, my office is just across the hall in my other bedroom.
Yeah.
So anyway, but at the end of the day, I was given strength beyond my own capacity. And that came through, you know, the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love how God still gives us little tender mercies, like your ability to work from home that allowed you to keep working, and that you're able to gain strength through him. That is so cool. What helps you feel spiritually whole, even when your body might feel broken or weak?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I mean, it's, you know, kind of back to the atonement of Jesus Christ. He's able to feel that. I also think for me, the words of prophets, scriptures, and I'm going to give a shout out to President Holland.
Yes, we love Elder Holland.
He just is like, I feel like he has so many talks where he just is like this little pep talk, like, you can do it, life can be hard, but
you got this.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like his words, I mean, if there's anyone I quote so much, it's him, because in those dark moments when it was hard, it was his words that I hung on to, and they were really the words of the Savior. But that provided the strength for me to carry on.
I love that.
What role did prayer play in the season of waiting?
Yeah, prayer was my lifeline. It was where, obviously, I went to have that wrestle with God. You know, Enos talks about it, and it really is a wrestle, I feel like, with God when you don't understand why things are happening. Yeah. You know, why do I have to go through the experience? Why do I have to experience so much pain? You know, why me? Like, you know, you can, you know, all these things. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it becomes conversation where God can, through different moments in prayer, he can give you insights and give you as to why have this experience make sense. And sometimes it doesn't always make sense, but he's able to fill your heart with peace enough that you can carry on. But at the end of the day, it's about choosing Christ. Are we going to choose to continue Christ when we don't understand and when things don't make sense?
Yeah. I find like whenever I find myself in like a tough situation or I'm struggling spiritually, I don't want to pray. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to. It's hard to turn to God and be like, I still need you. I still need your hope. I saw a quote the other day on Instagram, just like scrolling through, and it like kind of changed my perspective of prayer. It was like, if your prayers were all to be answered this week, what you prayed for, how would the world be different? I looked back like, I thought, would just my life be changed or would other people's lives be changed? Mm. And then, like, ever since then, every time I go to prayer, I'm like, okay, if every prayer were to be answered, what would be different in the world? Would it be a better place? And so truly, prayer has such a powerful effect on us, and all of those prayers can and will be answered one day.
Oh, it's beautiful. Was there ever a time, Nicole, when there was a moment when you realized that God was answering your prayers, just not in the way that you expected or wanted?
Yeah. I think when I initially started this journey and I was trying to figure out how to heal my body, I literally would try anything and everything, like any crazy thing that's on the internet or any supplement crazy, I tried. And so I kind of was like initially just in that mode of like, I'll just do anything. And then it became like, you know, I was being more prayerful about focusing on the Savior and, you know, trying to be led to solutions that actually would help. There are different people that I met that came into my life, or like things I heard on podcasts or things. It was like when a couple people would say things, like two or three people, I'd be like, oh, wait, I'd start to pay attention that maybe this was important. Maybe that was how he was trying to get me to pay attention to something. And so there were several different things, from going to like Mexico for stem cells, you know, and doing a fasting clinic and things like that, that I just felt very led. And again, in the moment, I mean, it took me a while to like figure out, but it was him like really guiding me and actually introducing people into my life that led me to those solutions that actually eventually helped me heal my body.
Yeah. And I have never seen the amount of grit and determination in fasting in my entire life. You guys, she fasted for how long?
21 days.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah. I'm like, man, I just gotta make it till dinner.
Well,
just gotta make it to dinner.
You know, like, it's interesting when like different things, like, you know, that I kind of came across that, you know, I felt like I should do this. The cool thing is like there were kind of like three different things that I kind of felt led to, you know, and like the first one, usually a lot of these places, it would take like 4 to 6 months to get in to see the doctor before you could even start treatments. And it was crazy that I would get in to see them and start treatments within days or weeks. And so like to the point when the fasting one, particularly that was the last thing that happened, I talked to the doctor, I submitted my application, and you know, he accepted me, and I was like, well, how soon do you think I could get in? And he was like, oh, it's going to take probably 4 to 6 months. That's generally what we have. Mm. But it's funny, in that moment, though, because of the experiences that I had, that he always got me in quickly, I knew that I would get in quickly.
You already know.
I knew. I was just like, I was like, well, let me just talk to the scheduling lady, because I know I'm going to be able to get in a couple weeks. And I did. Wow. And it was just kind of crazy, just like how he orchestrated that, how any normal person on this journey, it probably would have taken a year and a half, like, to get in to see these doctors and do treatments and things like that. But with me, it was, once it kind of fell into place, it was just, I did one and got into the next one, and it went pretty quickly. So it was just a testament that Heavenly Father was really in the details, and he was orchestrating it, even though I couldn't see it.
Wow, that's amazing. This question kind of goes along with that. Were there any like moments that God was reminding you that he was still there with you, even in the suffering?
Yeah, no, in this time, so I was in the midst of all this, I actually got laid off from a job that I loved. Oh. And so it was a great paying job, and I loved it. And I was devastated, because I was like, how am I going to pay for these treatments? And I couldn't understand that, like, I had been through so much already, like just years of health struggles. And then to have this on top of it, I couldn't understand how he could, you know, how he would let this happen.
When they start just piling up.
Exactly. It kind of just felt like true, like the straw that broke the camel's back. But as I turned to him and was like, I don't understand, but I'm, you know, I went to the temple, and that's when I got the answer that I should actually apply to the fasting thing. And because I wasn't working, I was able to get into the fasting clinic within 2 weeks because I wasn't working. So the thing that was like this huge loss in my life of a job was the means for me to actually be healed, because I was able to go. I was able to take that time off. And so it was just like crazy how he was so involved in those details.
Totally. Wow, God is good.
Mm-hmm. Can we say it enough?
Yeah.
So during all this time, what truths or scriptures, as you turned to Christ, became more real to you or became more meaningful to you?
Yeah, I think for me, I remember really just hanging on to every word of President Nelson. And at the time, he talked a lot about seeking and expecting miracles. And I needed a miracle. And as part of that, he encouraged us to read about Christ and his miracles. Actually, I actually went back and I'm like, I don't think he actually specifically said that, but in my mind, I heard that. So I actually read every miracle that he performed in the Gospels. And I kept a notebook and I wrote about what the situation was, the people, the different things. And the one that really stood out to me was the woman with the issue of blood. She had suffered for 13 years with this issue, and she'd gone to doctors and she spent all her money. And I kind of felt a lot like her. I was going to different doctors and not really getting a lot of answers and still just searching for all of this. And her goal was just to touch the hem of the Savior's garment, not even him, just the hem, because she knew that if she could do that, she would be whole. And so that was just such an impactful story. And it just changed the way I prayed about things. And it turned to, like, her goal became my goal. It was like, how can I touch the hem of the Savior's garment every day? And that was my focus. And so it really switched from, what can I do with my health? It was, how can I touch the Savior's garment mm-hmm. every day?
And seeing the power that can come into yes. your life every day.
Yes. And through doing that, everything else, I feel like once that was really a part of me and that was my focus, I feel like all the answers kind of just fell into place. Mm-hmm. But that story is, every day I still think about it. I have a couple pictures in my house of that story. And again, it's just reminding us to always every day focus on the Savior.
Yeah, I love that. And it kind of goes along with, I don't remember who gave this talk in general conference, but being spiritually whole instead mm-hmm. of being healed. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love that talk.
I love
that talk.
Wasn't
that amazing? It was like a light bulb came on in my mind when she gave that talk. I was like, oh my goodness, that is so true, that we can be spiritually whole without being healed.
Yes.
Yep. I agree. I was sitting in Singapore Chapel when I was wrestling with the concussion and not knowing what was going to happen. And I felt so broken and so like, what do I do? And I felt physically broken and I felt spiritually broken. And we were sitting there listening to General Conference, listening to this talk. And when she said everything that she did, it was the same thing. A light bulb went off. It completely shifted how I thought about it. I thought if I was physically broken, then I was somewhat spiritually broken. But that was not the case. What she tells us is that you can be spiritually whole even while you're waiting for healing, yeah. which is what you've testified of so beautifully.
Yeah, that's the miracle of the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So I'm sure through this process, has your definition of healing changed? And like, how would you define healing now?
Yeah, I think to your point, being whole in Christ, that's more, I mean, obviously I was focused on the physical healing, but to me that is almost like a footnote to what healing is. Mm-hmm. Because really in this process, I feel like Christ showed me how I could be spiritually whole. In the Old Testament, it talks about a balm in Gilead, that it was like this healing ointment that was used, that was grown in Gilead, be used for wounds and things like that, and people, you know, really turn to it. And Jeremiah kind of laments, is there not balm in Gilead, when he was lamenting the state of the people? And he's like, is there no physician there? And the beauty about our physician is he knows what we need. And a lot of times we think we need physical healing, but we actually need spiritual healing, you know, that we actually have a physician that does know. And I love that concept, that for me and my experience, yes, I needed physical healing, but I needed more spiritual healing. I needed that. And he knew that and, you know, gave me that this experience to allow him to heal my soul.
And he said, here, I'm going to give you all these tender mercies along
yes,
the way.
I'm yes.
going to give you the scriptures. I'm going to give you prayer, all of these ways to tell you that I'm still here with you. You have to go through one thing to yeah. get that spiritual healing.
Yeah. I also feel like he's saying, look at who you're becoming.
Yeah.
Look at how this has changed you for the better.
Yeah.
I remember on my mission, I think it was like 3 months to going home. And I was like, what else do I have to do? I feel like I've learned my lessons, you know. I should be ready to go. Like, this is getting kind of hard. And I was sitting one night in my bedroom and I was like, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I had left at 1 year. I wouldn't be the person that I would be if I had left even at 13 months. I needed every month of that mission to become, and still every day to become, who God needs us to be. And those experiences, those trials, those challenges, they really help us become those people that Christ needs us to be.
Become like him.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, what would you say to someone that is struggling, who wants to see these things every day, but feels like they're trying and they still can't see them?
Yeah, no, first off, you know, to people who are having a hard time and suffering, like, my heart just goes out to them. It's a hard place to be, especially when you've been there for days and weeks or months or even years. You know, it's a hard place to be. So truly what made a difference for me was focusing on the Savior It's focusing on the Savior, even when it doesn't make sense to, even when you want to shake your fist at heaven. But that's, again, that's why we came here. We came here to choose Christ when we're suffering, when we have to wait, when we don't get what we want. That's the point of life. But the miracle of the atonement of Jesus Christ is in those times when it doesn't make sense, he's able to heal us. He's able to fill our soul with peace and the fortitude to just keep on going.
I love that.
If you had to summarize what God taught you through this journey in one sentence, what would it be?
How much he loves me, which is kind of crazy to think about that. But I felt like it was all those little tender mercies in those little moments when someone said something specifically that answered my prayer, or it was just very specific to me. And in those moments, I knew without a doubt that he loved me so much and he was aware of me. And even though I would have said I knew that before, I didn't know it to the depth that I know it now, that everything that has happened or will happen in my life, he will make to work together for my good. And I have that confidence now because I know how much he loves me and he wants the best things for me.
Yeah, that scripture is in like Romans 8, I think.
Oh, okay.
Romans 8.
Yeah, yes. That's such a good scripture that as long as we try to love God and follow his ways, all things will work together for our good.
Yeah. Even if it's just touching the hem of the Savior's garment every day.
Yeah.
So good. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast, Nicole.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, I've always looked up to you and your strong, strong testimony of this gospel.
Well, it's built in those hard moments. That's when testimony is built.
It's so fun learning more about you and your experiences. Thank you for sharing.
We would love to hear your tender mercies, your I remember moments. So drop them in the comments, DM us, or email us. We'd love to hear from you. And remember to remember him this week.
See you next time.
Helaman 5:9. Oh, remember, remember. Helaman 5:12. Remember, remember. Ether 7:27. And he remembered the great things that the Lord had done.
Mosiah 2:41. Oh, remember, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it.
Helaman 14:30. And now remember, remember.
2 Nephi 25:26. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, that our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins.